You've heard much about being in my presence. But what you haven't heard enough of is me being in your presence. You see, it's not all about you. It's also about me. Your worship is like opening a door and inviting me to fellowship with you. Yes, I want you in my presence, but I want to be in your presence as well. I want to fellowship with you. And the most effective way to do that is through worship. The more you worship me, the less you'll wonder where I am during challenging times. The more you worship me, is the more you will be training your spirit to be increasingly sensitive to my presence. I want you to know that I am with you, and I want to be with you. Your worship is so critical for this. I have too many churches that call upon the name of my Son, but they just will not worship. They will sing songs to me and about me, but they never pursue the element of worship, true worship, that enables me to fellowship with them on a deeply personal level. Please understand, when I said I would never leave you and never forsake you, I meant it. But during your worship, it's as though we can have very close fellowship, and you will get to know me better. For I already know you. Please take this to heart. Please understand. When you are focused on me, truly focused on me, your worship is not in vain. I move in your midst. Both here, collectively, as you worship me, in a congregational setting, but also privately, when you're alone. I will make my presence known to you. The more you do this, is the more you're going to understand where you're headed in me and in revival. I am pleased with your worship. And I speak encouragement to you. Continue to worship me. Take it seriously. Take advantage of it. And make it a focal point of your life. I do not have that many churches who will do this. And know this. I will keep my word to you. I will move in your midst, and you will know my glory, says the Lord. We were singing a song here just a little bit ago. If I can find it. Yeah, I think this might be it. Where it says, yeah, here it is. All right. In Jesus' name. While we were singing this, we got to the part where it says, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And as we were singing that, the question just jumped up on the inside of me. How is God fighting for us? Think about that. I mean, do you know? Do you know how God is fighting for us? We sing this and you know, praise the Lord. But how? And as I was standing there thinking about it, the Lord was ministering to me. You know, God created the universe. Now, you can't do that without an immeasurable amount of power. God is the one who caused stars to be, and I don't know the exact scientific way to say it, but to be energized with thermonuclear power to give off the heat that's necessary to warm planets. For example, our sun. Now, God did all that and more. So, if somebody that powerful is fighting for us, doesn't it seem like the conflict would be over in the blink of an eye? Come on now. So how is he fighting for us? And here's what he shared with me, and I'm just going to pass it along to you. He fights for us through us as we worship. He fights for us through us as we worship. Our worship releases him to move through us to bring defeat to the enemy. And that pattern is here in Scripture. That pattern is right here in the Word of God. If you want God to fight for you, worship is a key. It's an absolute key because he fights for us, through us, as we worship. You know, I shared the vision that I've had, shared it many times. I'll share it again now because he just reminded me of it. How that during praise and worship on time, you know, we were here and just really worshiping the Lord. And it was like the ceiling, the roof, just kind of disappeared. And as we were worshiping, this beam of glory light was rising up from this sanctuary up into the sky. But at the same time, there was a release of glory coming from heaven. And the glory light coming from heaven and the glory light from here rising up, they met. And when they met, it was like an atomic bomb went off. It was like there was an explosion in the spirit. And I saw it. This energy wave from that explosion just went out. Just went out from here and completely drove back any demon that was anywhere near. And there was nothing they could do to stop it. They could not resist it. It completely blew them back. Well, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness. Pushing back the darkness. And the worship is the key. The worship is absolutely the key. This is why we do this. God wants this from every church. But as we've heard just a moment ago through that word that he gave us, he doesn't get it from every church. And there was a lot I wanted to share tonight. And I don't know if I need to share. Okay, I can do it this way. I can do it this way. The teaching part, I think I'll get to on Wednesday night. But right now, what I want to do is read to you two words that pertain to praise and worship. The first one's kind of short. He said, there are people with yokes and burdens who have their feet in stocks and don't even know it. It is an attack of the enemy. It is the reason they can't seem to go forward. It is the reason they don't seem to hear me. If they will worship, it will release the glory and anointing they need to walk free. If they will worship. If they will worship. It's totally up to us. God is fighting for us, through us. And this other one, I titled it, The Army of Worshippers. He said, I am raising up a new level of worshipers. They are those who are not ashamed or embarrassed to praise me and worship me in the spirit and with the understanding. Well, that fits very well with what has happened here tonight. You know, the whole thing about praising him in the spirit and with the understanding, you know, with the spirit part, you know, I've shared and exhorted you on this before, but I mean, you've got to get past anything in you that's apprehensive in doing that. He continued and said, they are those who are more concerned with my presence than they are the opinions of others. I will be pouring into them an anointing of power to tear down strongholds of the enemy. They will have no fear of the enemy, but the enemy will tremble when they hear the sound of their footsteps. I am raising up this army of worshipers around the world. When the Jews crossed over the Red Sea, one of the first things they did was worship me. Now, here's what's interesting. My teaching tonight had to do with that very event, and I didn't make the connection until just now. But he said, when the ark was returned to Jerusalem, it was accompanied by praise and worship. When the temple was finished, the first thing they did was worship me. When the foundation walls of the temple were relaid, the first thing they did was worship me. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the people heard those who were filled, speaking in tongues and worshiping me for my greatness. One of the most notable things John witnessed in the Revelation was the praise and worship in heaven. I'm raising up this army of worshipers. They will not be swayed and they will not be stopped. The fire of my glory burning in them will fuel more and more worship. They will move in the miraculous. They will hear my voice. They will know me as a God who cannot be defeated. I mean, this goes right along with what we were singing earlier. They will walk in victory throughout the land. They will walk in a holy boldness that none can dissuade. In the spirit, they will glow with my glory as it pours from them and rests upon them. There are many who will delight in these words and feel an excitement in believing that they will be a part of this army. But I say unto you, only those who truly worship me can be raised up like this. I do not want to hear the pleasant and trained voice of the flesh and soul. I want to hear the hearts of my children as they worship me. I do not watch performances, but I do participate in worship that comes from the heart. As you would say it, I am sickened, sickened by the way my church has professionalized praise and worship. I watch as churches advertise for musicians, singers, and worship leaders. I watch as my children flock to those churches which have the best sounding and best trained worship teams. I watch as they practice and practice and practice to get their harmonies perfect and their pitch perfect and their timing perfect, all the while leaving out the most needed element, a heart that is fully committed to worship me. I do not anoint performance, but I will visit that worship which comes from the heart. Do you not think that I can fill a church with musicians and singers whose hearts are sold out to me? Of course I can. But you must want to worship me more than perform for me. In my army of worshipers, none will be interested in performing for me, but all will be fully committed to worship me. There are churches throughout this world who have set aside times specifically for worship. Do you think that I do not watch those who do and do not attend? If you know that I inhabit your praises, why would you not want to gather for the purpose of worshiping me? Why would you not take advantage of every opportunity to join with your brothers and sisters in Christ to praise me? What is it about my presence that you do not appreciate that would cause you to stay away? I see this all over the world in churches where worship is emphasized. I will accept you into this army of worshipers, and you can experience all that this army will receive from me and do for me. But you must make a choice to make worship a priority in your life. For those in this army have made worship a priority. Do you not realize that there is an anointing that is released in your worship? As my word says, I inhabit your praises. Therefore, my anointing is present with me in praise. Many of you have had the opportunity to carry this anointing home with you after times of worship, and this anointing would destroy yokes of bondage impacting family members. But you have dismissed such worship and taken it too lightly. Where in my word do you see that I have declared Sunday to be a day of rest? And yet, many of my children call Sunday their day of rest, their Sabbath, and use that as an excuse to stay away from my presence in their churches. Does not my word say that you are bought with a price? If, therefore, you have been bought with a price, have not your days also been bought? Why do you see it as an inconvenience to gather together to worship me? I watch as this happens in churches around the world which have placed an emphasis on worship. Many say that their life is too complicated and too busy, that they need Sunday just to get it together, and they stay away from my presence. I would like to know, do you think your life would be any less complicated if you didn't have me in your life? Have you considered that the anointing which is released from me during genuine heart-released worship would bring about a restructuring of your life and settle so much of the disorder? My army of worshipers will face daily challenges. The enemy will come against them, but there will be nothing the enemy does that will stop them. They will worship me straight into eternity. They will blaze a trail of victory in this world. They will shatter the strongholds of the enemy. They will permanently shut down many of the enemy's plans. The light of my glory shining through their worship will lead many out of darkness. I am calling all of my church to join this army. However, I know that most will not listen. But will you listen? Does it really matter to you? No matter where you are, I am calling you to this army. Will you join? Will you let me clothe you in my presence and my glory in a way that will bring about a supernatural protection? Will your spirit become like tempered steel that cannot be bowed? Will you allow me to form you into a vessel filled with holy fire? Will you lay aside self in order to be clothed with the spiritual armor of a warrior who knows he has the victory before the battle has begun? Do you want to be in this army that I am raising up? If so, become one who worships me from the heart, one who seizes every opportunity to worship me, one who hungers for my kind of presence which only manifests through worship. Learn to enter into heart-released worship whether or not you have music. My army of worshipers is a volunteer army. You must want to join. And you can only join if you decide to live the life of a worshiper. Do this, I say, and watch walls the enemy has constructed for decades come tumbling down before your feet. Do this, I say, and watch chains of captivity break from those who have been in bondage for years. Do this, I say, and touch the overwhelming power of my presence, and you will never be the same. Praise God. Praise God. That word alone should encourage us to worship. That word alone should encourage us to not give up, to not let the emotions control, but to follow the leading of His Spirit and to worship because we want to. Well, I think we ought to worship a little more. I think after a word like that, we need to worship a little bit more. Amen.
Jesus.
Several years ago, we had what I referred to as a worship revival. And we came here each night. I don't know, I don't recall if it was just Sunday through Wednesday or Sunday through Friday. Sunday through Friday. And all we did was worship. That was it. We just came in, we worshiped, and then we went home. I really believe that when we did that, it not only made an impact at that time, but I think it helped to establish a course to where we are today. There's so much about worship. If you haven't listened to the two teaching series that I did on worship a while back, they're available online. I think one's called Releasing the Power of Worship and the other is Breaking Through with Worship. You know, I encourage you to listen to those. But, you know, if God so leads for us to do that again, you know, have a worship revival, that's what we'll do. We know more now than what we did. And spiritually, we're at a place now, call it more mature in the Lord than what we were back then. And there's no way that doing something of that nature is going to hurt us. The only thing it will do is work on our behalf. I'm not saying that's what we'll do. But I am saying, well, just don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. Tonight's been so wonderful. And as I was standing there before coming up, you know, the Lord did impress me to come on up. But I guess one, the way to put it is, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. I don't know what's going to happen in the future on nights like this. In other words, I don't know how long we'll be. I thought we had only been worshiping about maybe 15 minutes. And then it's like, wow, no, it's been a little bit longer than that. Praise God. You know, there's an atmosphere that we can take with us. And one of the things that I encourage you to do tonight, even if you don't do it until you go to bed, while you're there in bed, just thank the Lord. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. You don't have to start singing, just praise Him. Just praise Him. That this becomes a lifestyle. And I just... we're headed someplace good, guys. Into His presence. And we are becoming, you know, it's kind of like kneading dough, getting it ready. Well, we're the dough and God is kneading. That's good, man. I'm telling you, that's good. That is good. But like I said, the teaching that I had for tonight, I'll pass it on Wednesday night. At least I think that's what I'll be released to do. Thank you. Thank you for worshiping. Those of you watching, thank you. It's not really ending tonight. We're just taking a break. And we'll just pick up next time we're together.